Everything okay? All right. Okay, we got a bottle of Listerine here. In 1914, Listerine became the first company to offer a mouthwash over the counter without a prescription. All right? Okay? And millions of dollars have been invested in fighting bad breath. You realize that? Have you ever been on a date and your date said to you, you know, your breath could maybe use a little brushing, you know. And you feel like, you know, hiding underneath a rock, you know. I've had that. You know, believe it or not, it wasn't her. I used Listerine. I was using Listerine. So, with that being said, you realize one thing. God does not need Listerine or certs or stuff like that. He has fantastic breath. Go to Psalms chapter 33. I'm serious. And we're going to look at this. And we're going to write up here the breath of God. Psalms 33, the breath of God. It's good stuff. Really, it is. We're going to write some things over here. Now, how in the world? Well, yeah, I think we'll pull this off. But he has amazing breath. Psalms chapter 33. I think you know where I'm going with this automatically. But in Psalms 33, we're going to notice something here. We're going to notice a lot this morning about the breath of God and how wonderful it is. It's a little bit better than ours, but here in Psalms chapter 33, verse 6, we read, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." And obviously, anything that comes out of the breath of God would be the word of God. And here we read about Him creating the heavens and all the host of them. So we understand clearly that God made the universe, and Tracy went over that, and how vast and wonderful and expansive that is. It was made by the breath of God, and so we know that He can create. His breath is so... Can you create with your breath? Don't think so. We're not even going to go there. Now, and that's not the only thing that comes out of His mouth, is it? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Galen, daggone you did cut into my time. That's all right. We'll make it as short as we can, Galen. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I think we can create a list here of the things that come out of the mouth of God, and we can really begin to understand and discover how beautiful and how amazing His breath is. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Solomon wrote, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So we got some more things. We got wisdom. We've got knowledge. And we've got understanding. Now, you might say, well, what's so great about that? Well, let's stick in Proverbs and go to chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And I got a little something to say about that. Proverbs 16. Is that so fantastic? Is that so good? Well, here in Proverbs chapter 16, Solomon expands on this a little bit, and he says in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 16, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Now, I'm sure none of us here this morning, none of us, if offered gold or silver, would turn our nose up at it. Oh, we'd say, yeah, what is gold? $1,000 an ounce or something like that? We could probably all retire, couldn't we? Yet Solomon says, and you understand the wisdom and the understanding is not Solomon's, it's God's. And Solomon claims that it's much better than silver or gold. Really? Really, Solomon? Yes, it is. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. What else comes out of the mouth of God? He's got good breath. Believe me. And when you talk about breath, you're talking about the mouth, because that's where your good or bad breath comes from, isn't it? Come from your mouth? Sure is. Now, Matthew chapter 4. We know that Christ was tested of Satan. And what is Christ's first response? His first response, not his last, his first response to the adversary was, let's start in verse 1. And when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And what's our Lord's response? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. You see, man needs much more than just physical bread to sustain his physical life. He needs every word that comes out of the mouth of God for what? Eternal life. And why? Well, let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I'm just going to write it up here before I forget, because I'm very forgetful. We also get out of his mouth, we get this, don't we? We get life. Where else are you going to find life but in the breath of God? John chapter 6. What do we see there? John chapter 6, verse 63. Our Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Interesting. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We know one thing for sure, that whatever comes out of the mouth of God, it's life. It's life. And our Lord said, the flesh profiteth nothing. Interesting. Now, also, don't we have a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 that says, all Scripture, all the words were given by the inspiration of God. That is, they were divinely breathed. And now we have all the words of God that we need. All right, what else? Go back to Matthew. I should have told you to keep your finger there in Matthew, but let's go back to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And try to stick with me. Hopefully this will all make sense by the time we're done. Hopefully. We'll see. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Well, you know what that indicates to me? I don't know about you, but that indicates to me that these words are what? They're eternal. Heaven and earth are going to go. There's going to be a new earth and a new heaven created. But His words, they're not going anywhere. They're eternal. They're going to be around a long time. Now, understanding that God, by the breath of God, by the Word of God, He gives life, with that already in our understanding, go to Genesis chapter 2. That's how you and I, that's how our daddy Adam came into existence. God breathed, and he became a living soul. That's what the verse says. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed, that's God's breath coming out of his mouth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God has created a human being. Now, this human being is going to develop something called bad breath. Bad breath. And it's not going to take him long to develop that. Because we know, out of the mouth of God, Adam was given specific instructions about a certain tree. And Adam didn't adhere to that. And as a result of that, you go to chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and notice verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam, that creature that he breathed life into, and he said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, you see, what's going to come out of Adam's mouth is bad breath. Really bad breath. Because Adam says, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me." You know, God, that woman you gave me, it seems to me, now maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm losing it. That's a very good possibility. How about you? I could be losing it, but it sounds to me like Adam might be blaming God. You know, that woman you gave me. I might not be in this situation if you wanted to give me a woman. But wait a minute. I don't think Adam complained about that woman. But anyhow, Adam gives a very flimsy, helpless defense. He says, "The woman whom thou gavest to be, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." God, not only that, it's that woman. It's that woman. That woman you gave me. And man, from that point on, has bad breath. And I'm not sure mankind really understands just how bad his breath is. It's bad. Let's go to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. How bad is it? Well, I'll tell you here. I'll tell you here in a couple minutes. Romans chapter 3, and I have to make this comment. And Galen, I think you're going to like this. I really do. In Romans chapter 3, notice verse 10. Remember, Christ said to Satan, it's written. It's written down. Boy, when you write something down, you're accountable to it then. But anyhow, he says, "It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Not even one. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Not even one. And notice verse 13. "Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." Now, does that sound like bad breath to you? That's cursing, bitterness, deceit, poison, an open sepulchre, the throat, the tongue, and the lips. You know they're all tied to the mouth. The throat is that hollow cavity you see when you open your mouth. That's your throat. And Paul says the throat is an open sepulchre. Wait a minute. I thought sepulchre were like for dead bodies. Did you ever hear the term the breath of death? That's probably where it came from. Their throat is an open sepulchre with their tongues. The tongue is the chief instrument of speech. It's in your mouth. Deceit. Deceit's not a good thing. See, there's nothing good coming out of the mouth of man. Deceit is like to mislead or to cheat. That's what man does. He's misleading. And if you don't think mankind's misleading, you need to watch the Jodi Arias trial and see what comes out of that woman's mouth. Is nothing but lies. Lies, lies, lies. That's the mouth of man. Now, the lips. Paul says, the poison of asps is under the lips. An asp is a deadly snake. You get bit by an asp and death is inevitable. It's inevitable. So there's nothing, as I look at that verse, I see death. And that certainly describes the breath of man is death. What describes the breath of God is life. Understanding, knowledge, wisdom, how He can create. It's eternal. Totally different than man's. Totally different. Now, there's nothing, I don't see anything good coming out of the mouth of man. How about you? Alright?
We could read on. It says their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And on and on and on. But we need to turn this up a couple notches and sort of enhance this a little bit. And let's go back to Matthew 15. And sort of get down to the nitty-gritty here now. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. I liked on that. I like cutting to the chase and getting to the facts. Give me the facts, brother. Give me the facts. All right. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Notice carefully here. Matthew chapter 15. Our Lord says in verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. You see, the things that come out of the heart of either man or God, or out of the man or God, it's coming from the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Out of the heart, I have a little better understanding now where man gets his bad breath. It's from the heart. Now, let's note this. No, we don't have to keep our hands here. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. And we're gonna notice some things about the heart here. But back in Psalms chapter 10, and then we're going to have to go to another verse to clarify some things even further. Psalms chapter 10. I hope I got the right passage. Psalms chapter 10. I'm in Proverbs, and no wonder it's not making sense to me. Psalms chapter 10, notice verse 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. That describes really what comes out of man, and it's coming from his heart. It's coming from his heart. And what do we know about the heart? Well, while we're back here in the Old Testament, let's just jump over to Jeremiah chapter 17. And I'm glad the Word of God is simple, because if it wasn't, I don't think I'd get it. But to me, this stuff is really simple. It's really simple. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we know to read, the heart. Remember, Christ said it's those things that are coming from the heart that comes out of the mouth. Well, the heart is deceitful. Interesting. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wicked. You know, you can study your Bible and you're never going to find where wickedness is coming out of the mouth of God. No. He doesn't have wicked breath. No. Now, the heart. Two things about the heart. The heart is the seat of affections and passions. Where do you think those affections and passions come from? They're feelings of the heart. They're feelings of the mind. Passions and affections are feelings of the mind. And also, it's the seat of man's will, intentions, or designs. That's what the heart is. And all those things, the will, the intentions, and the designs, all those things you determine in your mind. When Christ said, out of the heart cometh things that come out, he's not talking about this thing that's about the size of your fist. You know, he's not talking about that. He's talking about your mind. Solomon said in Proverbs 23, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart. So, notice if you will, Ephesians chapter 2. Paul here describes our ugly past. You realize we all have an ugly past. And you usually don't talk too much about your ugly past. You keep it in the past. But here Paul lays out for us our ugly past. He's laying out for us our ugly, stinky, smelly breath. Wasn't good. Wasn't good. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm sorry, Ephesians 2 verse 1, Paul says, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And we're by nature children of wrath." We had natural bad breath. We had natural bad breath. We were by nature the children of wrath. We were by nature disobedient. We were by nature, verse 1, dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Dead. Now let's elaborate on that. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And Galen, I hope I didn't miss that verse. I hope I didn't miss that verse that I wanted to talk about. I think I might have did. That's all right. We'll talk about it later. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned." You don't have to worry about why mankind has the breath of death. He's got death within him. Spiritual death. "Reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." You see, When mankind is tied to Adam, there's death, there's judgment, there's condemnation. However, you get tied to Christ, you get connected with Christ, you've got life, you've got righteousness, you've got justification. For those that receive grace, this can come upon. But how does it come upon? How does that take place? Paul's already talked about that back in chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Oh, my gosh, Paul uses that word mouth there. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped." The law will stop your mouth because you are guilty. And all the world may become guilty before God. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, which out the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." Believe. Now, what are you believing? You know what you're believing? You're believing whatever comes out of that good, fantastic breath of God. You are believing the Word of God. And you're getting yourself tied and connected to some fantastic breath. You now spiritually have the breath of God. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And Galen, it just hit me. It just hit me what I wanted to say about a point that religion always misses. Remember us saying, Paul said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. That just, religion just trips all over that, don't they? And they say, you can do it. You know, you can perform good works. Paul says, there's nobody that can do it. So if there's no one that can do good, your breath must be bad. You can't have good breath then. All right. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. Boy, I messed that up, didn't I, Gail? All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You heard what came out of the breath of God, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's a walk of faith. Now, in light of that, let's go to chapter 4. Despite Galen taking up my time, I think I might be able to close on time. How about that? Amazing. Chapter 4. Now notice this. Please try to... This is kind of my point here this morning. So don't miss this. Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." They've got a heart that's darkened. Wait a minute. I think Paul's going to say that, isn't he? Having the understanding darkened. They don't have God's understanding that came out of His mouth through His Word. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life. There's life. They don't have that. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The mind and heart, it just goes together. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. I've got some information concerning Christ. And let's just continue to read here. So, verse 21, "If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." You see, you have to have a change of heart. "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created," I'll be darned, "it's created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying." You know, don't get your bad breath out. Put that away. That's not who you are. You've got divine breath now because you've received His Word. "Therefore speak every man truth." Where do you get truth at? Right here. "Truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good." Not only is good breath to come out, but good things now are to come out. Good! "That he may have to give to him that needeth." Verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, our minds and our hearts are no longer in vanity. They're no longer in darkness. Who would that? That's the former guy, isn't it? That's the former conversation, the old man. And every one of us need to be reminded of our new life in Christ. We need to be reminded of that. And in light of that, the result should be verse 29. Don't allow corrupt communication to proceed out of your mind. Why? Because who do we know that's corrupt? The old man. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. Corrupt is not who I am. Who I am is righteousness. Therefore, corrupt communication, and that's not just swearing, you know. That's not just swearing. That's the old man. But that which is good to the use of edifying. What edifies and builds you up? It's the Word of God. That it may minister grace. God is actively has a grace program today. It should minister grace to the hearers. Now, I got to get this in. I got time too. Notice Psalms 119, and then I'm going to close with one verse, and Shabam, we're done. Psalms 119. I just love this. And when I was thinking of this, I thought, now, didn't David say something that I can use for this? Yeah, go to Psalms 119. I just want you to think about this. Take this in, will you? Psalms 119. That's a big chapter, by the way. Woo, is it big? How many verses are in that? 176 verses. Wow, we only need two of them. Psalms 119, verse 103. Now think about this. David says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You want good breath? From an everyday experiential standpoint of view, right here's what we need. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I love honey. I don't know about you, but I like honey on toast. Oh boy, is that good stuff. But the word of God is much better than that. It's sweeter than honey to my mouth. I'm going to take in the word of God. So what comes out is the word of God as well. Now, one verse and we're done, and bam, we're dismissed. Colossians. Let's go to the book of Colossians. And I'm just going to read this verse and you'll be able to figure it out. You'll be able to figure it out. Now, you might say, well, I don't know if God wants good breath coming out of my mouth all the time from a experience every day living in my life. Well, I'd have to disagree with you. I'm going to read a verse and then I'm going to stop and we're done. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Let your speech, is that something that comes out of your mouth? I would think. Let your speech be always with grace. Always with grace. Season with salt." Salt is a purifying agent, is it not? "That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given that responsibility to spread the gospel of the grace of God. I hope your breath's pretty good when you're done. It is from a positional standpoint of view, but as we walk our everyday life, what's our breath like? I'm going to use some of this tonight, by the way. Anyhow, what's your breath like walking every day? I'm going to tell you something. This is the best mouthwash you'll ever get. Right here. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've seen fit that you've from a spiritual standpoint we've got wonderful breath because we're in Christ. But Father, we know as we walk this earth, we still have that old man and we're told to put him off. And constantly we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We've got to set our heart and our affections on things above. We got to set our mind and focus on eternal things, things that have real value to them. And Father, when we do that, when we get that in our minds and our hearts, good things come out. We know in Philippians, Paul gives us a long list of things that are just one, and he says, "Think on these things." And as we're thinking on them things, Father, the life of Christ not only comes out of our mouth, but can come out of our life. And Father, that's a good thing. We thank you for your amazing breath, how it enabled us to have your breath in your life. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.